and a guy, Kushu. No, Shuku. And a guy, Shuku.
No, good, Shiku.
Shiku. I tried. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll stick with English. I'll let Zing act through the Hausa. I've given some hard messages over the last two nights. And I do it not because I desire to give hard messages. I do it because I want to heal the hurt of the people of Nigeria. There's a reason why the Word of God is called a sword. Because when it's wielded properly, it hurts. It doesn't mean that we don't find comfort from the Word. But the Word is designed to cut. So I hope tonight to cut. I hope to also give hope. Because God promises good to His people. He promises good to those who turn from their sin. And I want to specifically talk through a passage in Jeremiah 6. Where God goes, both speaks to Jeremiah with warning. So he both speaks with warning, but he also tells us what we must do. Because he doesn't desire to leave his people without hope. Even those who are in rebellion to him, he says how they can be rescued. So I want to preach through Jeremiah 6, starting in verse 10. And remember, the context of Jeremiah is before Judah gets taken to Babylon. Jeremiah goes through them, through the wars, through going to Egypt, and finally the destruction of the Jews. But chapter 6 is before they've been taken into captivity. At this point, he sent prophet after prophet. And Jeremiah is one of the last prophets before his judgment comes on Judah. So in verse 10, this is God speaking. To whom shall I speak and give warning? That they may hear. Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised. And they cannot give heed. I've been saying a lot of warnings. And it's so easy if your ear is uncircumcised. Meaning if God has not opened your ears to be able to hear. I can give you all these warnings and they will just pass over you. You're not even able to give heed. You're not even able to respond. Because it is by God's grace that we can respond. In the person who thinks that they've heard, but really has not heard at all. They say, my ear is circumcised. But the question is, do you heed? Do you accept the Word of God? Do you heed what God says? And God, through Jeremiah, is going to make a very simple test. Whether your ear is circumcised or not, whether you can hear what God says or not. And it's really simple. It's how you respond to the Word of God. Do you desire the Word of God? The verse continues, behold, the Word of the Lord is a reproach to them. The idea of the Word of the Lord being a reproach to them is that they read it and it bothers them. They read it and they don't say, what can I do to obey this? They read it and instead they say, God can't be like this. They read it and they say, God couldn't have said to do this. They read it and instead of using it to see who they are, they use it to deny who God is. The hope is that you read the Word of God and accept it as true. If you do that, you're far along with accepting the teachings from the last couple nights. But if you instead want to treat the Word as something that should be twisted, should be cut in pieces, and what I mean by this is, if you read what God said through Moses, let me actually make that clearer. What Jesus Christ said through Moses, because Jesus Christ said, no one has seen the Father. So when there was the fire on the top of the mountain, when Moses went up in the midst of the lightning and the thunder, When he received the law of God, he didn't see the Father. He saw the Son. He saw Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ says, "Obey all my commandments," his commandments are what he gave Moses. So if you want to take the law of Moses and go, God can't say to put somebody to death for adultery, be very afraid of the state of your soul. Because the word is a reproach to you. God gave us His law. And His law is this test. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 3. To the Jews, when Moses came and stood before them, they were terrified to see the glory of God on His face. So they demanded that at all times He wore a veil. Because the Word of God was a reproach to them. But in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, everybody who does not know God has a veil on their heart. And they cannot look at Moses. They cannot look at His words. Because they're a reproach to them. But everything changes with Christ. When Christ comes into somebody's heart, the veil is removed. And instead of not being willing to see what the law of God says, we look in it and we're transformed. We're transformed from glory to glory, is what it says in 2 Corinthians 3. That's exactly the same thing Jeremiah is saying. Those who hate God, they hate His Word. So when they look at His Word, they change it, they twist it, they ignore it. But Jeremiah goes on to say they have no delight in it. But if you're in Christ, the opposite is true. The Word of God is a delight. We read Moses, we read Deuteronomy. And we're thankful that God shows us our sin. Because we recognize that sin separates us from the living God. And our desire should be to draw close to God. God says that the church is His bride. If a bride does not want to draw close to her husband, there's a problem. There's either a problem with the husband or there's a problem with the wife, but there is a problem. As part of the bride of Christ, if you do not desire to draw near to God, He's perfect. It's not his problem. It's always your problem. Draw near to God. Desire His Word. Desire to understand what He has said you should do. Is God's Word a reproach to you? Or is it a delight to you? These things that I've said over the last couple nights, in one sense, they're a judgment. But in a more important sense, they're hope. I've told you how your society can be healed. Not based on my wisdom. I'm not that wise. But God is wise. God is all-knowing. And God has told you what you need to do. This is how Nigeria is healed. But it starts with the church desiring the Word of God. I think 4 years ago, when I was here, I challenged you. I challenged you to read through the Bible in a year. You want to heal Nigeria? Find hope and help and delight in the Word of God. Do you ever open it? Do you ever open it? Or is it just this prop that you carry around with you to look holy? So that people go, oh, there's a Christian. Or do you open it and read it? If you delight in a certain kind of food, how do you know that you delight in that kind of food? Given a choice, you eat it. How do you know if you delight in the Word of God? Given a choice, you open it. Are your ears uncircumcised? Or do you find your delight in the Word of God? Have you even tested it? I assume this is true in Nigeria as well. That you give a new food to a little child. And they go, I don't want that. I want what I'm used to. And then parents make their children eat the new food. And a lot of times they find great delight in it. As a child, is it just that you haven't tried it? But this should create fear in you. If you do not find delight in the Word of God, if you don't know, go find out. If you haven't been opening it and reading it, open it and read it. Find out what God has said. And don't just read the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ said the law. Make sure that you delight in looking in the face of Moses. Go read the Word. Don't just walk away from this weekend. And ignore what was said. You can go, I'll be more comfortable if I just close my eyes and ignore what was said. But the reality of God's judgment doesn't change because you ignore it. It's far better for you to know where you stand with God. Go find out if you delight in His Word. Let's continue with verse 11. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, and the aged with him who is full of days. This is Jeremiah's message. He sees how the Jews are despising God. How they claim to make offerings to God. How they claim to praise God. And Jeremiah doesn't go back, sit back and go, it's all fake, but so what? Instead, he's filled with fury. Righteous fury. I don't come here filled with fury towards you. But there is a point where if the sins of Nigeria are not repented in Fatah, it is valid for me to come with fury. Because it's reflecting the fury of God. God isn't kidding. He isn't saying this is some game. God, just for an example, took something like 3 million people out of Egypt. And he saved two of them into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them he killed as an example for us. God's willing to kill people so that you understand. God is serious about these things. Jeremiah was serious about these things. Are you serious about these things? God says in verse 12, and their houses shall be turned over to others. fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of this of the land, says the Lord. Jeremiah recognizes God's going to cause the elderly to die. Husband shall be taken with his wife. The young men are going to be judged. Fields, wives, they'll all be destroyed. God is serious about these things. How serious are you about His Word? How serious are you about knowing what your sins are? How serious are you about the worship of God? Yesterday I talked about when God looks at our worship. As we raise our hands, if we're not dealing with our sin, He looks at them as covered with blood. How serious do you think God is? How serious do you think He considers sin? Serious enough to send His Son. Serious enough to have His Son mocked. Scourged. Crucified. If you don't take sin seriously, you are denying the seriousness of the crucifixion of Christ. It is not possible to think that Jesus Christ is significant without thinking that your sin is significant. Because His significance to us is He dealt with sin. If you don't take your sin seriously, you don't understand who Christ is and what He did. Verse 13. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Have you ever held out your hand for a bribe? You're given to covetousness. You're wanting something that you didn't earn. I see so much bribery when I come to Nigeria. Bribery is a sign of a nation given over to covetousness. Are you given over to covetousness? Are you trying to figure out how to, instead of receiving a fair wage, how to manipulate to get extra? Instead of giving a fair price for a good that you sell, trying to manipulate to get a higher price. When Zingak and I go shopping, He always tells me to hide in the car. Because he says if I walk into the store, the price will go up. That's a sign of a nation given to covetousness. A workman's worthy of his hire. But when you try to take advantage, that's covetousness. Covetousness. God is looking at Israel with all the, or Judah with all their sins. But he said, and he says he's filled with fury that he's going to destroy their homes, he's going to destroy their families, he's going to destroy their fields, he's going to destroy their houses. And he says it's because of covetousness. Are you given to covetousness? Are you different than the world around you? Or are you dismissive of your sin and you say, it's not that big of a deal? Or to put it another way. Do you just say, the crucifixion of Christ, no big deal? If you don't take your sin seriously, you do not take Christ seriously. Even those sins that seem so minor, like the sin of covetousness, all sins are serious. Are you dealing with your sin? And God goes on to give another testimony of what Judah, who is going to be destroyed, is like. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Do you realize how serious lying lips are in the eyes of God? And you say, but I'm not a prophet. I'm not a priest. If that's true, you're not a Christian. Because Acts 2 says, it says that in giving the Holy Spirit to everyone, He made each one of us a prophet. And that doesn't mean you are now going to know the future. What that means is, when you have the Spirit of God, you can declare who God is, which is what it means to be a prophet. But the prophets and the priests, they were lying. God says, my children do not lie. But I want to consider one of the most damaging lies that people can say, which is in verse 14. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly. Saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. When you see somebody struggling with sin, and you say, but you love Jesus Christ, then you are dealing with your people falsely. You comfort them for the moment, but you don't get them to peace with God. It is so easy when you see somebody in sin to say, but I see how you worship. I see how faithful you are with your money. I'm sure you're fine with God. That's saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. As a prophet and as a priest, make sure you never give false comfort. If you read through the Old Testament, this is a consistent sign of false prophets. They want to give comfort without knowledge. Nobody knows anybody else's heart. Nobody knows anybody else's heart. All you can see is the outside. Don't ever presume, I know this person's a Christian. As you read through history, you hear these bold men of God that end up in serious sin. Sin that testifies they could not possibly have ever been saved. I remember the story of a famous pastor. He keeps his seminary degree on the wall of his office. Not to brag about how he has a seminary degree. But because of the signature on the certificate. Because the person that was the head of the seminary, he turned to sodomy and rejected all things about God. Never comfort people by saying you know they are Christians. Because it is a lie. You do not know. And it is not your job to be the comforter. God sent a comforter. God sent the one who testifies in our heart. If we're saved or not, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us peace with God. It is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of truth. That never lies. Never says peace, peace when there is no peace. And never heals the hurt of his people slightly. This has always been a sign of false prophets. This has always been a sign of false prophets. that they say what the people want to hear. Instead of saying what God says. Be a faithful prophet. Declare the holiness of God. Declare the mercy of God testified to by His Son. Let God be the comforter. Continuing, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Verse 15. No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Do you know how to blush?
Blush.
Like turn red.
Okay.
It's got to be in here somewhere. Be ashamed. What that means is, do you ever see what you do and you're ashamed of what you did? Do you actually look at your sin and do you say, I can't believe I did this? Do you say, I hope no one can see that I did this? When you get your heart hardened to sin, people can confront you. They can say, how dare you take a bribe? And you have no shame. They can say, how dare you charge him one price and me another? And you just shrug your shoulders. Are you shamed by your sin? If you're not ashamed of your sin, God will cause you to fall.
Allah zai sa ka fadi.
Another way to put this is, are you modest? Are you trying to show yourself off? And men can do this as easily as women. Women might do it by the cut of their dress. A man might do it by his behavior. But in either case, they don't know how to blush. They don't know how to be ashamed of their behavior. Do you want everybody to look at you? That's a dangerous thing because you made yourself the center. And God says, I will punish them. I will cast them down. And then he again goes back to, this is how you have hope. Verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. where the good way is,
inda hanya mai kyau take,
and walk in it.
Kubita.
Do you want to know the path that were set by the Christians who went before you?
Kuna so ku gane hanyar da Krista wanda suka kuma a gaba da ku suka bi.
Paul gives a command to Timothy when he sends him out to lead a church.
Bulus ya ba da doka wa Timothy yadda zai biyo hanya.
He doesn't say, come up with something new that will entertain the people. He says, keep the form of words that I have given to you. Do you want to know the old ways? Do you want to know the ways of the people who were faithful that God blessed before? Or do you go, they're old fashioned? We've come up with a better way now. That's a sign that you've left the ways of God. Because he said, this is the narrow path. You have to stay on the narrow path. If you don't want to go back and look at the faithful men and women that have gone before you, if you don't want to look back at the ways that they preach the gospel, the things that were said, then you should be very concerned about the state of your soul. In July, I did a conference in Miango. And an elderly man came up to me after one of the sessions. And said that he was in church not long after the original missionaries were there. And he said, you're saying exactly the same things that they said. That was very pleasing to me. Because as I come here, my desire is not to do anything new. My desire is to tread the path that many who were faithful have gone before me. The narrow path is still the narrow path. The things that please God still are the things that please God. Do you want the old path? I want to speak to the youth especially. When you hit a certain age, you want to show yourself as distinct from your parents. That distinction should only be, are you more faithful to walk on the old path? If you want to walk on a path different than faithful parents, you are saying you want to walk on the path that leads to destruction. I don't care what you say with your mouth. People falsely profess Jesus Christ all the time. The Jews all said they were children of God. And God says there's only a tiny remnant. Do you want God's path? Or do you want the world's path? It has nothing to do with your parents. It has to do with the rebellion in your heart. Do you want the path of the faithful that went before you? Or do you want destruction? He promises destruction for those who will not walk the old path. Make sure you're choosing and not just blindly following. Because the judgment is the same for both. They will fall. They will be destroyed. Whether it's the simple that just goes along with his friends, or if it's the ringleader that's trying to get people to join in with him, both are on the path that lead to destruction. Make a choice who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the Lord? If you're going to serve the Lord, you'll want to know the old path. The other choice is to choose destruction. If you choose the old path, verse 16 says, then you will find rest for your soul. God will give you rest. God will give you peace. God will give you joy. The things that are the most precious things in this world is what God will give you. But you have to desire the path that Paul set down. That Jeremiah set down. That Moses set down. That Isaiah set down. That Peter sat down. That James sat down. That Christ sat down. That's what it means to follow Christ. It's to not desire a new thing, but to desire an old thing. But God goes on and says, but they said, we will not walk in it. They heard and they wouldn't walk in it. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Maji keeps referring to my last name. Listen to the sound of the horn that's blowing here tonight. Listen to the sound of the trumpet. God has set a watchman over you. He has sent me here standing in front of you to declare truth to you, to declare hope to you, or to declare judgment on you. and declare that you're headed to destruction. That's what every Christian is to do. Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman blowing the trumpet and warning the people of the destruction to come. I'm here warning you of the destruction to come. Don't respond like Judah responded. Judah responded by sticking their fingers in their ears. They responded by saying, I won't listen. But that didn't change the destruction to come at all. And if you think this just applies to the Jews, read verse 18. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people. The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my word. Nor my law, but rejected it. Do you even read the word? Do you even know what it says? And I'm sure everybody in this room knows certain verses. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But God didn't say one verse is more important than other verses. God didn't say read John 3:16 but ignore Deuteronomy. He said, heed my word. He destroyed Judah. He made the Jews wander the earth. The end of Deuteronomy 28, he says, I will make them a watchword and a byword throughout all the nations. We hear about problems with the Jews all the time. About sinful persecution of the Jews. But understand that God set them there. So we would look at them and say, this is what happens to a people who will not hear. This is what happens to a people who profess my name with their lips. But will not heed my commandments. He says, hear you nations. Hear you Nigeria. This is what God does to people who will not heed His word. Do you want to know what it says? You cannot heed it unless you want to know what it says. Do you open it? Do you open it? Do you read it? And if you go, but I can't read very well. Well, go learn how. If this is your life, why aren't you making the effort to know what he said? That's exactly what Isaiah says is a curse on Israel. One group says, I can't read it. That's no excuse. If you desire to know God, you'll figure out a way. If you think the judgment of God is a real thing, that He is going to pour out His wrath on those who reject Him, on those who will not heed His word, you'll sacrifice all to know it. You'll sacrifice all to know what God said. He destroyed Judah so that you would know the importance of reading His word. Those who won't heed His word, those who won't heed His law, those who reject it, he continues in verse 20, For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba? And sweet cane from a far country. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Nor your sacrifices sweet to me. He says your worship is worthless. If you do not want to know His word, if you don't want to obey His law, your worship means nothing. Your tithes and offerings mean nothing. Your prayers mean nothing. Your baptism means nothing. Do you desire to heed the word of God? Let me close in prayer. Oh Lord God, I do pray that You cause Your word to flow mightily in this place. For that is how You cleanse Your people. That is how You love Your bride. You wash her in the water of the Word. This is how You remove her sin. How You remove her spots and wrinkles. This is how You give us life. A life that's faithfully lived for You. As we know what You want. Oh God, I pray that You give a burning desire for the people in this room. To know what You want. To know what You hate. To know what You love. Give us a desire for Your word. Let us look in the face of Moses. with no veil on our hearts. So we change from having the glory of just salvation to have the glory of shining forth who you are to the world. This requires your spirit to work in us. Convict us of our sin, O God. Guide us to your truth, O Lord. Put to death the old man, Holy Spirit. We all need this. I beg you to work among us. We thank you that for everyone who believes, we have the promise that you will do this. For everyone who you started to save, you will conform us to the image of your only begotten Son. Oh God, do that work among us.
Allah,
amen.
Amen.